others as you would have them do unto you, unless you see in yourself right first. Because if not, that law is a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to do unto me as you would have me do unto you, and you don't love yourself? Then you're going to treat me very unlovely. The golden rule doesn't mean nothing unless the correct perception of both people is involved. It would be almost better for most of us, since we sow into sacrifice, to say, let me treat myself as well as I do others. Because most of us would tend to be harder on ourselves than we are on other people. If we've been on the spiritual path for a while, we probably have flipped it from being judgmental of other people to being very hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it means, love yourself as your neighbor?
It would be like, you know, it's like, it's love your neighbor as you would love yourself, but yeah, as yourself, but it's really about love yourself as you would love your neighbor.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, so I'm going to keep going.
Okay, I'm ready.
He says, thus does the Holy Spirit replace fear with love, which is translating error into truth. And that way will you learn of Holy Spirit, which is what? What's the Holy Spirit?
Loving right mind.
Your loving right mind. So that's what you can say. Thus does the loving right mind replace fear with love and translate error into truth. And thus will you learn of the loving right mind how to replace your dream of separation with the fact of unity. For the separation, when you say you're separate, you're saying the separation is only the denial of union. So when I say I'm separate, I'm really saying I'm denying that I'm united with you. I feel right now I'm mad. What you mean? Well, I'm denying that I'm one with you. Separation is the denial of union. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel separate from you. I'm denying that we're one. Mm-hmm. I'm denying that we're united. Now, what's the problem with that? If you say, I deny that we are united, you are really reminding yourself that you are united.
Yeah.
You're actually reminding yourself that you're one with the person. Yeah. So he says, that attests to your eternal knowledge. I like that. Eternal knowledge. That's a whole new meaning for E.T. Right? It's like eternal knowledge that union is true. So every time I tell myself that I am denying that I'm one with all of you because I'm separate from you and I'm different from you and I'm mad at you, then I'm really saying I'm one with you. So every time you say you're separate from me, you're really saying you're one with me. Wouldn't that be a trip for your mind? Every time I say I hate you, suppose your mind got trained that every time you said you hated somebody, your mind would go, oh, he loves that person. And then gives you more love for the person. That'd be a trip, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it's saying. As soon as you see fear correctly, you see that I'm afraid of you means that I'm denying the love that we have.
Yeah.
Right? So when you reprogram your mind, then your mind's going to go, oh, he's afraid, let me give him safety, peace, and love. Because fear is a request for safety, peace, and love. The mind is the creator. And so you start drawing to you the love that you need when you become afraid automatically because you reprogram your mind to associate any forms of lack of peace with a request for your peace. Then you don't have to stop and figure out why you deserve peace today. Your mind will just automatically correct your errors as they occur.
So
as soon as you judge yourself or you feel critical of yourself, your mind will automatically correct that criticism and allow you to accept yourself because your mind has been programmed to believe that criticism is a call for acceptance. Your mind has been programmed that when you feel afraid, that's a call for safety. So your mind will start to draw to you the things that you need without you even stopping to figure out if you deserve it once you pull this off. Which is not hard at all. It's just me going, you know, I feel separate from you. I'm denying my union with you right now, and I'll see you later. I'm going for a drive. Mm-hmm. It's another language. The Course is a language.
Mm-hmm.
It's another language. And just like any language, it's just translations. It's just you learning new interpretations of the same words you've already known. You know what I mean? So if you look at the Course as a language, like you're learning a language, it'll be easier to learn. Because that's what it is. He says it's your language. He says the language that's going to become your natural language one day, even though right now it doesn't make any sense. Just like when you were a baby at one time, you were listening to adults speak a language around you that you didn't understand, that became your native tongue, through which you now communicate through everybody. But there was a time when English sounded like just like the chorus sounds like right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it sounds like. You know it's English, but you're going, what the hell is going on? You know, because it's a language. So now we learn a new translation of fear, a new translation of lack, a new translation of loneliness. Oh, Earl feels lonely. Translation, Earl is calling for companionship. Oh, Earl feels like he has lack in his life right now. Oh, that's a translation. Earl is calling for abundance. Because the mind is the builder and the mind creates. But you want to give your mind new translations. So we're coming, we're going to spend a day learning new translations.
Yay.
And making it very practical. So I'm going to cover relationship, and I'm going to cover money, and I'm going to cover guilt, and I'm going to cover the past, and I'm going to cover, you know, I'm bringing down.
What about prom night?
What about prom night?
You going to bring it that into my experience?
Mm-mm. Y'all, you don't want my prom night to talk into your experience. Well, my senior year, we didn't have prom.
You have senior year?
I'm having them every day now. I remember when being a senior had a whole different meaning. Yeah, the year that, you know, I grew up in Memphis, and the year that I graduated from high school, right when I was about to graduate, Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis. And so they canceled everything because we had tanks going through the neighborhood and possibly some oil would have got on our clothes. And so...
Would you say that again?
Some oil.
Yeah, the oil from the tanks might have got on our clothes. So we just decided to... Yeah, tanks going through your neighborhood is pretty intense when you know, you're like, you know, okay, all right. It's a different kind of world. The 60s was so intense. I think the 60s were awesome. They were such a trip. You see people walking down the street, and then they're going, peace, man. Love, man. Peace and love, man. It was all about, the whole, it's like, instead of the generation's whole ideal being some form of social economic growth, making like $200,000, $300,000 a year, getting a big house, everybody's about, it's about love, man. Like, we got to love. And it's interesting that when the whole philosophy of a generation was love, was when there was the most violence.
Yes.
That's when there was the most people, students being killed, riots in the street, which makes perfect sense if you know spiritual truth and the Course in Miracles. As soon as we focused on love, everything in us that had a defense against it and was afraid of it came up. And that's what happens in relationships. As soon as you say you love each other, then all the stuff that's not like love comes up in a relationship, freaks you out, so that you can have it dispelled so the relationship can really be love.
Uh-huh.
And that's what people trip out. I love you means that everything that's not love's got to go. So all of a sudden I start seeing what I don't love. Have you ever had that happen with somebody you loved? All of a sudden you was looking at stuff that looked like you didn't love about them. And so now we know that the stuff that we didn't love about them is an appeal for the stuff we do love about them.
Yeah.
See it as an appeal for the opposite. I see fear coming up between me and you. That's calling for me and you to give each other the truth more. See, fear becomes a call for love, a call for truth. So as soon as you become afraid, that should be my cue that there's some love that's being denied and that you're calling for some form of appreciation and acknowledgement and communication. And so I should immediately want to know what you feel, how can I support you, what's going on with you. Come on, go ahead and communicate what's up. In other words, speak the unspeakable. If you would speak the unspeakable with me, I promise you I won't attack you. We can get past the fear, and then we can get back to the love that we are. That's the way I do relationships.
I love that, but it seems so rare.
Yeah, because you're becoming it. And as you become it, you draw it to you. And you know you're becoming it because you're sitting in the room where there's a person sitting in front of you saying this to you. So that should be your proof that there's a part of your mind that's ready for love now because I'm your witness. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
If it wasn't a corresponding part of your mind that was attuned to what I'm talking about, you couldn't be here today. So that's all the proof you need that a part of you